Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast. As always, I'm joined by our resident Millwall fan, Andy.
Yeah, hi, James. Good to be here on this lovely sunny weekend.
Yeah, what a weekend. And on that note, we're joined by Luke. How are you, Luke?
I'm not too bad. How are we?
Yeah, not too bad at all, mate. In a week when Nigel Pearson is back in the hot seat, Anike is off again, and the League Two playoff places are getting tighter than ever. Welcome back to the pod.
I've worked, Dad, so I'm going to play hard, baby.
Talking of working hard and playing hard, I think we better start this week's kind of championship roundup at Bristol City. And in what's been a pretty big week for them, new manager coming in. But I think what is interesting is the fact that, exactly as that soundbite suggests, they're actually bothering to work hard now.
Yeah, it seems odd that as soon as the manager goes, they start to put in effort again. We saw it in midweek, a great win in midweek, but it's more the intensity that kind of catches your eye more than anything. They're actually bothering to work now that the manager's gone and they've got Pearson in.
Yeah, I think what was obviously quite big in midweek was they were quite clearly, I mean, Pearson had chosen not to take charge leading up to that and kind of run the rule over some of the players and make some decisions from the stands. And it just looked like they kind of bothered to turn up and maybe play for a shirt. I suppose new manager comes in, there's a few of them thinking they might be able to play their way into the team. But yeah, it doesn't look great, does it? I mean, Holden goes and then they start trying. Doesn't say a lot for Holden. But then they go into the weekend away at Swansea, who, as we said last weekend, have only been beaten once at home. And Bristol City turned them over.
Yeah, we say turn them over. I mean, the first half, it doesn't look like Bristol City had much of the ball at all, does it?
Were they there?
I'm not sure. Well, I mean, they did clear a few off the line, a few balls in the box. I mean, one thing was, you know, Swansea get praised for some of the football they play, but a lot of those, it seemed to all just be long throws into the box half the time and big boots forward. So I don't think we're going to be feeling too sorry for Swansea today, actually.
Yeah, it was a huge aerial bombardment at times. And I guess quite what they'll find frustrating is a lot of that did end up bobbling around the six-yard box and probably should have found the net, but for people like Callas and certainly Bentley putting themselves in the way of it. But yeah, not the most attractive game. And I think the only thing they might have to complain about is a couple of penalty shouts and potentially a red card for young Towler playing at left-back for Bristol City.
What a start for not only a win for Pearson as his first game, but what a start in his management of Bristol City. He subbed off an 18-year-old in the first half. I mean, start as you need to go on. We want that sort of thing, don't we? But you've got to feel bad for Towler. He made a pretty bad tackle, got yellow, then could have easily been sent off. Pearson has said it was a tactical change, but I think we all know he was taken off before the referee did it for him.
Yeah, I mean, some people say he's protected him and some people think 45 minutes is all I need to see at this point. Get me a new left back. No, it's funny, and I think I mentioned this to you before about I'd actually written, sort of said about Towler being a bit of a prospect for Bristol City, and he's starting to make some starts at a young age, and he was on the end of a bit of a punishment against Watford the other week and looked like he'd bounced back in that game against Middlesbrough. He was very good, but to be brought off, well, I was going to say after 45 minutes, but he didn't even make 45 minutes, Towler. So to be brought off after that long, just three starts into your career is not going to fill you with confidence. But as Pearson said, he's been part of two wins in a week now, so I'm sure that'll make him smile.
Yeah, but as much as Swansea knocked on the door, it did take a penalty for them to take the lead, didn't it? So I'm not sure that, once again, I mean, I seem to have a bit of an agenda against Swansea this week, actually, but maybe their luck has run out a little bit.
You say luck. I mean, a lot of people talk about you create your own luck. And if you're conceding a goal straight from a corner and then your goalkeeper decides to smash the ball at the opposition centre forward inside his own box, yeah, their luck certainly seems to have dried up. And they're going to need to turn it around because there's a few teams up there having a wobble and now they've become part of that and could quite quickly find themselves out of that race for the top two.
Yeah, Nigel Pearson did say we were totally outplayed at the end, which is a strange thing to hear when you've just won 3-1 in your first game as manager. But more of it, please, Nigel.
We talked about the top of the table getting quite tight there and a few teams having a wobble. And there was a game towards the bottom end of the table that was massive, particularly for Sheffield Wednesday away at Luton. Luton sort of dropped off recently and Wednesday looked like they were going to make the most of that form and actually found themselves 2-0 up, but didn't quite go to plan for them.
Yeah, Andy mentioned last week that they were, you know, struggling for goals, Luton. That was their kind of downfall. They've scored 7 away from home and they've brought in Elijah Adebayo from Walsall. And for a team that are so reliant on James Collins, I think he's the only player in their team in the Championship this season to score more than twice. And Adebayo scored twice in a week. That's a huge option for them now. And he's involved in 2 in the second half in that comeback. And I think that that could be massive for Luton. They said that they've been working on his aerial threat. Do you need to work on an aerial threat if you're 6'4"? That's something you need to work on.
I think Bakayoko might be 6'4", and I think he possesses about 0 aerial threat. So, Robbins, get Hartford in.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, James, such a massive game for Sheffield Wednesday. And when you're 2-0 up at half time, and I mean, Josh Windass missed another good chance in the first half as well. So it could have been more, but I mean, you're thinking surely they won't chuck it away here. But what happens? It's 2-2 by the 60-minute mark. I mean, the confidence in that team is just approaching 0 at the moment. And and it was always coming, wasn't it? That last goal that Luke mentioned earlier. And Nathan Jones, it just pretty much summed it up nicely with a little line. What a wonderful second half.
And that leaves Wednesday right down there in a bit of a mess, really. Maybe benefit from a game or two in hand on those clubs around them. But at the moment, you really can't see them getting out of trouble. And got a long way to go, I guess. But they need to start picking up points quickly Wednesday.
Moving on to a game that maybe wasn't as entertaining goal-wise, but was probably my favourite game of the week. And it's probably quite a few favourite people's favourite games. We go to Bournemouth. Bournemouth 1, Watford 0, 2 of the relegated sides. Wasn't expecting too much from it and we didn't see much. I mean, Woodgate's obviously getting the best out of Bournemouth for the short time that he's been in charge, clean sheet-wise. And Dan Juma with a really good finish, but I don't think we're here to talk about that, are we? We're here to talk about the last 10 minutes, mainly the last 1 minute. What a feisty affair. Jefferson Lerma winding up everyone.
I was going to ask you why you've picked this one out as a favourite, but I really don't think we need to, do we? Great. I mean, we're all here for someone winding up the opposition, aren't we? And what a way to do it from Lerma. A piggyback, a slap in the face, a step over or two with a few loud squeals, which we benefit from without fans in the ground. I was here for all of it. And just when you think it's going to end and you're thinking, oh, Jack Wilshere's heading over there, nice experienced professional, red card.
Yeah, there were loads of red cards in the EFL this weekend and João Pedro's was my favourite because the first one it goes really hard on Jefferson Lerman. He's curled up in a ball on the floor and Dan Gosling clearly doesn't feel like he should be. And he goes across Dan Gosling and tries to pick him up like a handbag while he's still on the floor. Like gets good air on him. And the second one, he takes the second yellow and just walks off and just lets it all erupt behind him. It was quite scenic.
He knew exactly what he was doing with the second one. In fact, if anything, I think he'll be disappointed he didn't kick him the first time. And that's why he had to do the extra little kick out at the end. And exactly as you say, he knows exactly what's coming, just turns around and walks off. Absolutely brilliant.
He goes to foul him, you're right, but he falls over, so he misses him. So he just really makes sure by giving him a little boot, which is a shame, to be honest, because he's someone who we enjoy watching. So he's going to be out. I don't know if that's a one match ban or 3, but yeah, he's going to be someone who we're going to miss watching. But just when you think it's all over, yeah, pretty much a 22-man brawl. Yeah, it was a real. We haven't seen one like that this season, I don't think. And then out of all of it, the only one to get sent off is a second yellow for Wilshere. Just unexpected. How Jefferson Lerma didn't even get a card that game. Unbelievable.
It's the piggyback on Chalabar, which I just really love. And the referee decides to give the free kick the other way. And of course, Bournemouth go on to score from it just to really pile on the misery. It's just a game of, it is just brilliant, isn't it? 1-0, but as you say, who cares about the goal? Give us more of those fights.
Well, I think that's what Woodgate said to them. I'm pretty sure he's really instilled that fight into them, hasn't he? Would that have happened under Tindall? I'm not so sure. So good signs for Bournemouth in every regard at the moment.
We spoke briefly about teams having a bit of a wobble, particularly some of those towards the top of the league and trying to fight for their way into promotion places. And Brentford is certainly someone who've had a bit of a wobble recently. And they came up against the Stoke side and you kind of didn't really know what to expect. And David Raya certainly didn't help with that fight against this recent wobble, did he?
No, we're seeing this time and time again, especially in the Championship. A lot of these teams, I mean, it's the trendy way to play now, isn't it? But some of them just aren't quite up to it at times. And to do that in the first minute, I mean, you got to think, just get that up the pitch straight to Jacob Brown. And what a start for Stoke.
Yeah, I was rubbing my hands together when he did that against Coventry the other weekend. You think, surely won't do it again. This time he doesn't even look to be playing it to a defender. It's just like fancied himself an assist and then loses his head even more and just flies out at the forward, and then he just leaves another player open for a goal. And yeah, what a start. But as we well know now, Brentford, best team in the league at coming back from a goal down, and they've done it again. And that man Tony being back in the squad has clearly given them another boost. And 25 for the season now, and it's taken him, I think, Luke, don't know if you saw this stat, but 14 games less than Watkins to get to that many goals, which is pretty impressive. And it's going to be interesting to see just how many goals he can get this season.
Yeah, he's scoring a goal. If stats are a thing, he's scoring a goal every 109 minutes, I think it is. And if he keeps on going, you'll get 35 for the season. And the best Championship goal scoring season was Glenn Murray back when he was at Palace, who got 30. So that shows the ridiculous season he's on at the moment. And being top of the assist tally as well, he looks so ready for the Premier League. I know it's only one season, but he does just look so calm. He's always in the right place. You know, you're running out of words to describe him at this point because you seem to talk about him every week. But yeah, what a player he is. What a find.
But enough praise about Ivan Toney quickly. The equaliser from Vitaly Janelt, someone who's played quite a few games this season in central midfield, but you never really hear too much from, actually. But he keeps that Brentford team ticking over. And what a hit today. I mean, he got his name in the headlines with that left-footed pile driver. Maybe that'll be one to discuss in the goal of the week later on.
Finish.
He's shown his hand early.
Andy's going to go for a screamer.
And the importance of a striker hasn't been felt more than at Millwall recently, I don't think. Our strikers have been so bad this season. Rowett masterclass has gone, this week, just won't pick any of them. We'll go no strikers. We'll go for something different. No strikers on the pitch. No recognised ones anyway. And to be fair to him, it did sort of work. Mason Bennett and Jed Wallace being the furthest players forward. Bit of pace in the team. They're by far our quickest players to try to beat Barnsley on the counter with their high press. And it did work, especially for the Bennett goal. But yeah, this week, Barnsley 2, Millwall 1. Two very avoidable goals to concede as well. Sort of just, they weren't the sort of goals we concede, which is pretty disappointing. Two sort of hoofs into the box from Barnsley, and they've just won the first ball and has gone in. A game which, unfortunately, I think puts end to any Millwall playoff hopes and settles us down for a nice 15th place finish this season. So yeah, get comfy. Get comfy. You won't be hearing from me about them too much more.
I think what's funny and what maybe you've missed out there is you're playing no strikers and you're thinking, oh, keep it tight today. How long did it take Barnsley to get the first goal?
It didn't take much. It was actually, I didn't actually watch the whole game this week because it's such a lovely weekend. Went out for a nice bike ride instead, guys.
Oh, dear. Saw no strikers on the pitch. Went, all right, I'm off out my bike. This is enough. This is enough, Rowett.
Yeah, but we equalised almost instantly. So I actually didn't see that it went 1-0. I just saw 1-1, so I didn't have time to be disappointed. Anyway, that's enough from the, that's enough from the Millwall side of things. Barnsley, on the other hand, winning a game without playing particularly too well. In seventh place now, they're one of those teams that really could be pushing. You've got Barnsley, Cardiff and Middlesbrough, all of them fancying that sixth spot. So we'll see if they can beat Millwall with no strikers on the pitch. Doesn't say much.
I was going to say.
Where's he going with this? I was thinking. And just when you were thinking Andy didn't have much to say about his team this week, on to Coventry. 1 point gained, 2 games played. Let's not talk about it.
It's nice to see a Coventry player make a big tackle outside of the box for once. It did lead to a difficult last 8 minutes, but it's nice not to give away a penalty this time.
No penalty given away this week by Coventry, but... So Ostergaard's thinking the ball hasn't been in our box that much. If I want to do something, I'll just get a red card instead. Was that the feeling, do you think? Because Squeaky didn't look too impressed.
Squeaky really annoyed, actually. Doesn't even think it was a red. He's got the first yellow for reacting to being stamped on, and apparently he's got a huge, pretty obvious stud mark on his leg from where he's been stamped. He's got annoyed that the refs missed it and reacted, sort of sprinted across the pitch and been booked for that. So a bit of a daft first yellow, but also where's the protection, ref? And then the second one, you can see why he's doing it, but when you're on a yellow, don't get rolled, don't get caught tight, especially against a team like that who've got players who can roll you. But yeah, as I said, 2 games played, 1 point gained, and with those teams below us sitting with a couple of games in hand, it's probably best to move on this week. It was a big game down at QPR against Birmingham. Obviously, Birmingham really in the scrap now to try and stay up, and they've got a great result there. Karanka's subs seemingly worked the magic this week after the fans have been less than impressed with him. One comes on and gets an assist, and the other comes on and gets a goal.
Yeah, massive week for Karanka, this, wasn't it? And he's done well. I think Halilovic coming on is someone we really want to see more of, sort of. What you call a past wonder kid, age 15, 16, signed by Barcelona. Then he's been around the block and he's found a home in Birmingham somehow.
Poor lad. And,
I think that was his first goal of the season, a really well-taken goal. You need to get players like that firing, something a little bit different I think Birmingham needed, and they got it. What a massive win.
And what better way to round off the championship with two of the old guard, McCarthy against Warnock. 2000-ish games between them. Woeful game.
Showing their experience.
Yeah, I wrote down 2 shocking goals, 1 a long throw header, 1 a big scramble. Warnock and McCarthy wouldn't have had it any other way.
That's why there was so much love after the game for each other. So much respect.
Yeah, respect. It's just because
that's exactly how they wanted it to play out.
I mean, I'm not sure what they respected more. The fact that both of them were committed to moaning for 90 minutes or that they'd both scored the scrappiest goals you could see all weekend.
Warnock, I know we'll get on to what Warnock said later in another segment, but one thing that we did want to discuss was, I mean, I'm not sure how mental this is. It seems crazy to me that Cardiff had less than 100 successful passes. I mean, they had 38% possession, which is low, but it's not that low. How do you go 90 minutes without making 100 passes?
Is this a record? It reminds me of when, what was that Millwall Fulham game from last year, Andy?
I think that was the possession record, but I think we may have broken 100 passes. I mean, you could quickly do a 10 in 5 seconds.
I'm not sure what surprised me more. That stat or the fact that somebody played against Middlesbrough and managed to only have 38% possession.
The two old guard just playing out a classic for the ages, wasn't it? I've just checked on that thing we've mentioned earlier. Fulham 4, Millwall 0. Fulham made 990 passes in that game. Millwall actually made 174. And I don't remember us touching the ball. So, I mean, Cardiff have really gone and done something there. Jeez. Anyway, we've spent far too long talking about a game which just not deserve it.
Yeah. Well, we ended our championship roundup with not exactly the most entertaining game of the weekend. So I think we better start League One, and that was plenty entertaining enough for us. Charlton against Blackpool, plenty of goals, and not only goals to keep us entertained.
I think you're referring there to the two red cards, James, are you?
I might just be.
Or the two penalties.
Take your pick.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for Lee Bowyer, all of those goals he mentioned came for Blackpool. Charlton's poor run looks like it's continuing. Three wins on the bounce for Blackpool, though.
Yeah, I think that makes it 5-6 and really looking like they could kick on towards the playoffs now. I mean, you've got to start helping yourself if you're Charlton, and especially some of those more experienced players. Getting yourself sent off, especially Anike doing it 2 weeks in a row, 2 weeks, two red cards, doesn't reflect well, does it? And when your team are trying to put an end to a poor run, you've just got to be a bit more disciplined than that. But yeah, Blackpool piling the misery on Charlton, who now seem to have managed to concede two or more goals in 9 games this season, which is not a great stat for someone who at the start of the season would have been looking to try and get out of the division.
Yeah, he does seem, Bowyer, like he's panicking a little bit. Yeah, I mean, we do like to see this, but he made 4 subs at halftime. This is something that we're, I think we've seen maybe once before this season, and boy, did it not work. And I think in our manager's roundup slightly after this, I think I'm going to give him another mention, Bowyer, because he has been fairly entertaining again after the game. Not sure where he goes from here, as long as it's not Soccer Saturday.
Another fixture in League One that saw a team in pretty good form go up against a side who were desperate for points. It was Bristol Rovers against Shrewsbury. Now, obviously, we spoke about the fact that Barton's taken over at Bristol Rovers and he's going to be looking for a reaction and a quick one at that. And it didn't start well for him in his first game, conceding in the very last minute against Wigan in the midweek. And not a start he would have wanted, but what a win for them this weekend against an informed Shrewsbury side. And boy, did they look like they enjoyed it. I mean, I say they look like they enjoyed it, and boy, if they had to hang on towards the end. They've lost Day in goal to actually what was a great save. And then sub keepers come on and that to make a great save at the end. But yeah, it looks like Barton maybe has got them playing a bit.
Yeah, instilling that sort of team atmosphere as well is absolutely vital. I mean, at the end, like you said, it was really good, wasn't it? It was one that you want the fans there celebrating as if they just won the league. That's how vital those 3 points were. And just some great team togetherness as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if Barton keeps them going. I thought it was a great appointment myself, but we shall see.
Yeah, really important 3 points because it's starting to look clear who the four at the bottom are going to be, because Swindon picking up a win as well. Scott Twine scoring from 25 yards out again, rinse, repeat. Rochdale, another one. They look like they're going in one direction. The goals have dried up after Matty Lund won the League One Player of the Month for January, and they've lost to Burton Albion, who are pulling themselves out of that relegation scrap miraculously. 15 points from 7 games under Hasselbank and Mamria, compared to 13 points from 22 beforehand. You know, I was the first person to say it wasn't possible, and boy, is he making me look a fool.
He is, Luke, and you mentioned that game, Rochdale versus Burton. And it provided something I know you will love. A headbutt.
No way.
Yeah, there was a headbutt. There was a little headbutt from Rochdale player. And I think you might actually have seen red for it as well. So wrap your eyes around that, because I know that's something that you love.
I mean, it was such a big game for both teams, wasn't it? I mean, just like you said, one team going in one direction, the other one in the other. I mean, Lucas Aikens. He just carries on for Burton, doesn't he? Popping up at the right times for years now. And I think it's gone too well for Hasselbank and Mamria, because, I mean, people are just expecting them to stay up now, which has been incredible from them. So we'll see how it goes in the next couple of weeks, but it's not looking good for Rochdale at all. It's staying on the same theme once again. I mean, Burton have turned it around under Hasselbank and Mamria. Lee Johnson at Sunderland, another one we weren't too sure about. He seems to be getting them going a little bit now after a really shaky start against Crewe.
Yeah, I think a lot of teams have found it difficult against Crewe this season, and they looked like they might be on for a half-decent season, considering, really. But yeah, Sunderland just ended up having too much in the second half. courtesy of two potential goal of the week candidates. Ooh. If you haven't seen these, you really need to see them, particularly the winner. You've got Jones with heaves them back into the game with an absolute scream of the youngster on loan from Rangers. And it's a great strike into the top corner. And just when you're thinking, oh, goal of the week, Chris Maguire helps himself to a volley from about 30 yards out, loops into the net 2-2, and what a weekend for Sunderland.
Yeah, I mean, we praised Karanka for his subs earlier, and Lee Johnson made four subs, not at half-time, but in the 59th minute. So it must have taken a while to get all of them on, but both of them scored the goals as well. So even though he did say it was their worst performance since he's been there, I'm sure he won't be too disappointed after that comeback.
Similar to Charlton, there would have been plenty of League One fans keeping their eye on Hull and what they could do this season and trying to bounce back. And they've got a great win this weekend against Wimbledon, but I'm not sure any of us are here for those goals, or at least the first couple of goals. I think you know exactly what I'm referring to here.
Penalty drama, which you wouldn't really think. Which you wouldn't really think when a team is 2-0 up and they get a penalty. But I mean, talk about unprofessional from Malik Wilkes. He's won the penalty and just wants it himself. McGuinness, he's already scored a penalty in the game. He is the penalty taker. I mean, in the process as well, he ends up pushing his captain, Louis Coyle, as well. And then just as McGuinness looks like he's about to step up and take it, he suddenly picks the ball up or says, Malik, you have it, son. So, I mean, just so unnecessary. And it's got us talking about that rather than the goals. So,
I mean, it's weird for a few reasons, isn't it? Because as soon as you sort of, okay, he's won it, he's done really well to win the penalty, and he obviously wants to add to his tally this year and what's been a great season for him. The dedicated penalty takers come over and pick the ball up. At that point, you should go, all right, yeah, I'll step back in line here. They're not for me. And the captain's up to come over and you're thinking, yeah, okay, captain's come over, better listen to the skipper. No, gives him a two-handed push in the chest.
Yeah, but the Wimbledon players couldn't believe they were losing to a dysfunctional side like that. I mean, you can see them on the edge of the box just thinking, like, what is going on here? Can you get on with it? Put us out of our misery. But
wish we'd have a penalty to argue over.
Exactly. We'll have it. We'll have it instead. But once again, like we said, Hull, we thought they may struggle this season. I did anyway. But yeah, look really on for that. At least a top three finish and maybe push towards the top two.
I think we'll turn our focus to Peterborough, who obviously flying at the moment, fell behind to Wigan in quite an unusual fashion. Well, I say unusual. It was straight from a corner again for Wigan. And you were just starting to think, well, maybe Wigan are going to put together a little run and Peterborough might finally become a little bit stuck. But when you've got someone like Clark Harris, who's now scored in seven consecutive games, it's pretty tough to see them being stopped.
Yeah, I think you've summed up that game pretty well there, James. It looked like the shock of the weekend was on the cards, didn't it? Until Clark Harris decided, yeah, I've just got to score a couple again. Another penalty for him as well. And great to see another goal direct from a corner, the second of the weekend. More of it, please.
Yeah, they pull 4 points clear of a Lincoln side that are involved in the biggest scoring game of the weekend. They've lost 4-3 to Plymouth. Yeah, Plymouth had dropped Luke Jeffcott, who hadn't scored in a few games, but they managed to get the job done anyway. Huge win over Lincoln.
Yeah, they did. They managed to get the job done, but I mean, they've made it difficult for themselves, a lot more difficult than it could have been. When you look at 4-3 like that, I mean, we look at it and we think, what, you want it to be the perfect one. You don't want a team to go 4-0 up and then it goes 4-3, do you? 2-0 up, then you're 3-2 down, and then you win it 4-3 at the death.
Yes.
It's just the perfect scoring combination from Plymouth there. Give them a bit of hope, take it away. Let's hope the Lincoln's
angle that carrot. And before we move into League Two, I think it'd be wrong of us not to mention the week that Ipswich have had. There's a lot of talk around the club about a takeover, and it'd be interesting to see where that would go. But on the field, they've managed to do quite well. Two wins in a week and looking up maybe for Ipswich fans, dare I say it?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, the most interesting thing from that was the rumours that Paul Cook was going to come in to replace Lambert, I think. So not sure what Lambert will be feeling about that one, but his team have shown a little bit of promise.
Yeah, a lovely free kick from Alan Judge, but the football is still dull. I think two wins in a week doesn't change the fact that Ipswich fans want to change. And my high risk, high reward said that this would not be a good week for Ipswich. And it has turned out to be quite the opposite. So curse of the podcast, really.
Yeah, we're talking about curses of the podcast. One player apparently did play well was Troy Parrott. He's got a little bit too much airtime at times on this show. A deep-lying role. I think it was our friends over at Actung Millwall said he played a deep-lying role at Millwall as well, mainly on the bench. So...
Well, we'll move into League Two, and there's quite a lot of places we could start this section, but I think there's only one place that we all know we're going. Carlisle, Luke, tell us the story.
Well, from one Bennett letting his side down to another, Reece Bennett, dragging my name through the mud. A ball comes in from the right-hand side. There's no pressure on him whatsoever. I'm not even sure there's an Oldham player in the box, and he just hits his hand. May as well have caught it and throw it in the net himself. It was hilarious. And then there's a Hayden behind him.
Yes, I was going to mention this, Luke. Well, it was interesting how Hayden then just clears the ball away, tries to pretend nothing's happened. I mean, it really is similar to this show at times, isn't it?
Covering up all the bad work.
You go into a game like this and you sort of, you look at the notes, you make a bit of notes going into it. And I've got written down Oldham with the worst defensive record. See, 1-3-1. Scrap that note. I was talking recently about Hills, no on loan from Coventry, still not managed to score yet. Gets a goal. Sort of thinking, Bennett's been in reasonable form recently. Handball penalty. You just think, where does this stop? Where do
they get off? That's League Two for you, isn't it? That's League Two for you.
Before this game, Oldham had been involved in 99 goals in their games so far. And you think, oh, surely we can put a few past them at home. And Josh Coyote scores a great kind of like sidewards jumping volley to put Carlisle in the lead. And you think, here we go. This is promising. Handball. Hilsner scores a penalty. The second one's even more entertaining because not only is it a brilliant goal, but in the lead up, that a ball's put into the box and Bobby Grant, our Oldham striker, has tried to connect with it with a scorpion kick. Missed. He's kind of salmon flailed in the air and then landed on his face. I'm still laughing at that. And Bahambula's picked up the ball, done a few step overs and curled it into the corner and wiped the smile off my face.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the Carlisle defenders were also laughing at that, weren't they?
Switched off.
It is funny. We will put a clip of that up on our Twitter page at Three's a Crowd Pod for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah, the third one to Barry Carlisle was just a header from a corner. There were a few calls for Chris Beach to be sacked, but, you know, it's pointless, especially from where he took over. The way that Stephen Presley left the club in near the bottom of the table, it just seems pointless. A manager that you'll have many opinion on, James.
Elvis has left the building.
didn't think we'd hear his name much, to be fair.
Really good. Not sure I've got any to say about it.
Having some flashbacks here as well. just think of Squeaky, think of Squeaky.
Now, Luke, Crawley picked up a good result this weekend, but I think you probably want to talk about a player that you've given a fair bit of stick to already since he signed. Someone who didn't even make the match day squad.
Yeah, and they're starting to turn their fortunes around, Crawley. A couple of results after some terrible ones after beating Leeds in the Cup. But the most important Crawley-related news is Mark Wright has been added to FIFA 21 and he's the worst-rated player in the game.
what rate is, do we know what rating he is? Or I'm going to make it into my ultimate team. Normally with those, it's normally a 16-year-old playing in League 2 or something that no one knows anything about. Not a 34-year-old. Come on, Mark. He was left out of the squad this week. It must be because they've seen that and they've thought, nah, can't be having that.
It's a good confidence boost for all those 16-year-olds on there who look up their rating every year and go, I'm the worst rated player in the game. I'm the worst rated player in the game. But no, it's Mark Wright. If it's going to be anyone, it may as well be a reality TV star.
Yeah, they're thinking I could be on The Only Way is Essex. I'm better than him.
I'm higher rated.
Well, from the worst rated player on FIFA to two managers doing their best to be highly rated at the moment, Truman and Sellers get themselves made permanent and Bradford win again.
Yeah, I think that's 30 points in 13 games for them since they've, you know, taken charge. It's a massive, massive turnaround because they were starting to look in real trouble and now they're looking up the table. The first goal from Sutton is a screamer. You love to see a shot come down off the bar like that. And then he sets up the second for Andy Cook again, who's got another goal. It's a huge turnaround and you don't see it that often. You're kind of two co-managers, but I think you see the Cowley brothers as well. Do you think it's going to be more sought after having two managers focus on two different things?
The Cowley brothers, I mean, who are they? Step aside now. There's another duo in the EFL. And like you say, it is weird, isn't it? You don't see it a lot, but it seems to really have worked. I think particularly maybe where the managers are a little bit younger and they're kind of having to share that managerial job between them a little bit more, and perhaps they both do slightly different things to one another. I know whenever I was at a game that the Cowleys were managing, Nicky was usually out on the pitch with them after half time doing pre-kick warm-ups and really drilling the message across to them. And you kind of get the picture that maybe Danny was doing more of the team talk side of things, and certainly in front of the media. And I mean, well, look at them now. Danny's clearly doing a lot more of those media-facing jobs than Nicky. So it'll be interesting to find out maybe if they do it similarly there. But yeah, perhaps just because they've not got that much experience and they're a little bit younger, the kind of dual manager kind of role that they've taken on might work. And it'd be interesting to see if other teams do go for it. You're right.
Yeah, but one thing people, it doesn't get made a big deal about is Connor Sellers. He's just turned 29. So, I mean, there's young and then there's being that young to be now a permanent manager of a football league club. I mean, it really makes you sort of feel better about creating a 25-year-old manager on Football Manager now, doesn't it? Because, I mean, it does exist in real life. I mean, definitely one for the future. We'll be looking out for them.
And in terms of summing up League Two, a couple of other things that caught my eye. We've seen Newport finally do something about unfortunate home pitch, and by do something I mean they've submitted a request to not play there again this season, so keep an eye on how that goes. We saw absolute screamer in the Cambridge against Vale game, but we won't talk about that too much because I have a feeling it might be brought up later. And Cheltenham look really like they're kicking on now in that promotion push. That's 5 in 7 games in terms of clean sheets for them. And the young loan signing from Leicester, Wright, has now got 2 goals in 3 games. So a real push being done by Cheltenham in League Two.
And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
And I think there's something that we've spoken about now for quite a few episodes, a little section that we've been wanting to put in. And I think maybe we should make it a bit more official. We've been thinking about some of the things that come out of managers' mouths that have made us laugh over the weekend. And I'm hoping that you've not let me down this week and you've brought a few with you, because I know I've heard a few this weekend. And I think I might kick this one off with Nathan Jones, who's someone that Andy often gets some inspiration from at the weekend, some of the things that come out of his mouth. And after last week, we mentioned the fact that Stoke players had perhaps not hidden their thoughts on Jones with a few Twitter pictures and comments. And this week he's managed to fight back from 2-0 down and get a 3-2 result against Wednesday. And they've kind of asked him what he did to do that. And he said, oh, well, I've just gone back to the diamond in midfield, which I was much aligned for at the Bet365 stadium. So I'm not holding back there, Nathan Jones, having a real pop at his former club. Clearly been shown the things on the internet from the Stoke players and thought, oh, I'm not having this. I'm having a go. Good old Nathan Jones providing us with some more entertainment. And on that note, I'll pass over to you. I mean, what have you heard?
Is you me or is you Luke?
Well, I'll go next. After the week that Ipswich have had, you would think that Paul Lambert's probably been a bit more positive in his interviews. Now, talking with Radio Suffolk, he had a few questions about the takeover and he just kind of tried to ignore half of them. Either he didn't want to talk about it or he couldn't answer the questions. And then he ends the interview by just going, I'm going home for a beer. And then that's it. That's clearly a man who's so confident he's lost his job already before this American takeover's even happened. I even heard this week that he ruled himself out of the Celtic job. Can you rule yourself out of a job that you're not in line for?
Well, so did I.
Yeah, on that note, I've ruled myself out of the Celtic job as well.
He is starting to sound like us, isn't he? Ruling himself out for jobs he's not getting and ending it by saying, ugh, I'm off home for a beer. It could be any of us.
Something that did make me also laugh from that interview that he said was, he said he was 99% sure that he wasn't going to be there when the new takeover comes. But it wasn't really that that made me laugh. It was the fact that he then said, it doesn't matter if you're sitting top of the table. 99% of the time, normally managers move on their way. And you're thinking, yeah, but Paul, you're not sat top of the table. And it really doesn't matter if it's a new takeover or not, because I think you are on your way.
Stop trying to sort of...
He did also...
have your name put in with those sort of managers, because that's not what's happening here.
He did also joke that he turned up at his office in the morning and Paul Cook was sat in his seat, which did make me laugh, to be fair. So fair play for that one.
Yeah, I've stayed in League One for mine as well. A manager that we've joked about in the past is one Lee Bowyer of Charlton, who's also not having the best of times. It's a shame this segment's going to be taken up by managers who are not having the best of times, isn't it? But that's just the way it goes. You know, panic and say something stupid.
And welcome to the podcast.
I'm not sure that it's a direct quote, but Lee Bowyer, it's been reported after that he's been saying that he is dumbfounded by the inability of some of his squad to take on the instructions he provides them with. So, I mean, if that isn't passing the buck, I don't know what is. Dumbfounded that they can't take on his instructions. And he has also reportedly told one player that he is definitely going to be dropped for costing them too many goals. And that isn't it's not the goalkeeper. So, I mean, it's all going on behind the scenes at Charlton at the moment. A lot of fans are running out of patience. I mean, he can't seem to get it in his mind that he's managing League One Charlton at the moment. This isn't, you know, prime Barcelona. They're not going to be able to do exactly what you tell them to do all the time. And it really is a manager on the edge.
Well, Karanka said that a few weeks ago about his players. They're not doing what I'm saying. They're not doing what I'm telling them to do. They've picked up a couple of wins recently, so maybe their luck will start to turn. Just complain until they start winning.
I don't know, but I assume Bowyer hasn't said, two of you get sent off this week. Two of you give away a penalty. Yeah. Luke's quiz. Edit that in.
Right, this week's quiz. Let's get straight into it. We are looking for teams by the coast. Seaside clubs. Seaside EFL teams.
There we go.
Oh, my word.
Test of
your
knowledge.
I like it. I really like this. Because it's going to be, you know, what does count as the coast? You know, how inland can you be?
How many miles? How many miles from the coast?
A couple of miles from the coast. Two miles. You can't have Bristol City. Bristol City's about 3.5 miles from the coast.
Okay. I'm ready for this.
Jesus, I've got no hope. Absolutely no hope.
Well, I think this is good.
Test of your away day knowledge.
Wait, we'll just get Zen.
Men with Zen.
Last time I did this, I said James Vaughan.
I've literally got one team. You're first, aren't you?
Portsmouth.
I'm going to go for the Seasiders themselves. Blackpool.
I'll stay on the south coast and say Bournemouth.
Jesus wept. Grimsby Town.
Oh, that is a hell of a shout.
Southend on sea,
yeah, you're right.
God, this is tough. 2 miles. 2 miles. Swansea City.
I'm going to say it. Should I just say it?
Shall I just say it?
It's got a bit. Plymouth Argyle.
Oh, no, that's where I was going next. Oh, do I want to say it? Exeter City.
Dear. Can we keep going?
Andy wants more.
I just quite like this. I was going to say Fleetwood.
Yeah, Fleetwood's one.
Morecambe.
You could have had Morecambe as well.
You got nicknames, I'm thinking. Yeah. Nicknames now. Northeast is difficult. Sunderland.
Yeah, you could have had Sunderland. Yeah. A few other teams you could
Barrow?
Have
cut.
Barrow's a great shout as well. Yeah, League Two.
Oh,
Barrow.
Of course, that is the sea. Yes. All yeah, the port towns.
Barrow and Furnaces.
Yeah, you could have had Cardiff, Hull. You got Fleetwood, Plymouth. It was really good. And Newport. A few that were very, very close. I probably would have let you have. Middlesbrough and Tranmere. Both around two to 3 miles away from the coast. You make a good case for it. I would have given you those as well.
Goal of the week's come back around. Who are we going to start with then? I think we'll go with Luke this week first. What have you got for us?
I've bought a goal that I can't really ignore. It needs to be brought to attention because it's a non-league goal. And I know what you're thinking. Can you bring a non-league goal? Probably not.
No, that's not what I'm thinking, Luke. What I'm thinking is you need to turn your microphone off and leave. Because EFL 3's a crowd podcast.
It's a goal I have to mention because it's just ridiculous.
Have to?
Eli Sam playing for the oldest club in English football, Notts County, in the FA Trophy. Ball comes in. He does like a spinning scorpion kick. The goalie is not even a yard off his line. It's straight down the middle and it still lobs him because it's not expected. Even the commentator's like, that's a Puskas Award nominee right there. So, I thought I had to mention it if you want to go and find that one on Twitter. And I'll disqualify myself, don't you worry. So what have you lads bought to goal of the week?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, thank God you did, because not only have you had to admit that it's in the wrong, it's not even an EFL goal, you've then also described it by saying it's lobbed the goalie who's not even a yard off his line straight down the middle. Does it sound that good? Andy?
Yeah, I've gone for Olivier Till. He scored in the Russian second division for Vorsklevy Alexandria. oh no, that's the Russian Premier Division. I apologise. But I have gone for an EFL goal. Yeah, it may not be the best goal of the week, but it's one I enjoyed. Well, I've at least got a silver medal this week. For turning up. It's the third goal for Preston, the one that sealed the win against Huddersfield. Scott Sinclair, they've broken away down the left-hand side. Tom Barkhuizen, the outside of the foot ball across the box. Kevin De Bruyne-like, unbelievable ball. And then Sinclair's just hammered it into the bottom corner first time. It's one of those ones that just looked so good on that angle from the TV. So, I mean, are we bringing best goals or are we bringing ones that, you know, we enjoy?
Well, I was at the local park on Saturday and young
I'm
lad
not to do that. Have you gone EFL, James? Have you gone EFL?
I have gone EFL. Oh, ask me the next question. Is the goal any good? Yes, it is. Did so has it won? Yes, it has. It's EFL. It's an actual good goal. I did enjoy it, though. So you might be pleased to hear I did enjoy it. So it does fit that category as well. Good. Not only did I enjoy it, it actually wrapped up an important 3 points for Cambridge, an 85th minute winner by O'Neill. And it's the cleanest strike you will see, not only this weekend, but potentially all season. Rolled back out to the edge of the area and then he's just absolutely leathered it, top corner. He's caught it sweetly. The keeper's dived. No point, mate. It's going in.
It is a thunderbolt. It kind of bobbles before he hits it, which makes it a little bit more impressive. It reminds me of that Benjamin Pavard one in the World Cup, where it just kind of like...
Here he goes out of the EFL again. We're at the World Cup now. Jesus.
Yeah, it's such a clean strike. Was it 35 yards? It's got to be.
Okay, we won't mess around here. That's goal of the week. We all know it.
Yeah, goal of the week. Thank you.
Let's move on.
It's the easiest vote we've ever done.
Well, I've just staggered up the stairs after an hour. half-time shading and we're fucking losing again!
Losing again. High risk, high reward. And I suppose we should probably have a quick look back, as much as I don't want to, at what we predicted last week. And I had a little look at two of the League Two form sides in Cambridge and Cheltenham, two teams doing well. And I think I quite sensibly predicted a 10-goal thriller. So we go back, we take ourselves back to Tuesday, the 23rd of February, a nice midweek meeting.
Under the lights.
Cambridge United 0, Cheltenham Town 1. A 1-goal thriller.
No. Well, the thing is, if you take the 1 and you take the 0, put them together.
Yeah, I wasn't quite right this week. Just wider than the mark, hopefully get closer for this week's prediction. I think we better move on from my 10-goal thriller. Luke, what did you go for?
I thought with the fixtures that Ipswich had this week, I thought that Paul Lambert was going to get sacked and I said he was going to swear on the way out. Now, they've won both games. He does look like he's on the way out, but he hasn't been yet. And instead of swearing on the way out of an interview, he's gone for a beer at home. So, again, wider the mark.
God, we're good at this.
We go again. Andy, what did you go for?
Okay. I had two, didn't I? Which I think was probably against the rules. But luckily, the first one didn't happen, did it at all? Because I did pick Darren Drysdale to do something rather silly, but he wasn't picked for a game. So then I said Bristol City are going to go and get 3 goals against Swansea. But without conceding, I said they would win 3-0. Yes. Oh. Yeah. Before everyone jumps in. That's exactly what I said. But bearing in mind, this was said when Bristol City were in turmoil. No manager. Maybe they still had a manager in at that point. But yeah, so disappointing. I think it's definitely the closest we've come. There would have definitely been an asterisk next to it. But
points per game. Yeah. One high risk for high reward on
cancel
a points per
the
game.
High risk, yeah.
So 3 predictions/4, Andy had 2, and three losses again. So what better thing to do than have one more go at it? High risk, high reward. What have we got for this week?
I'll get us underway, shall I, this week? I mean,
please do.
I'll nip it in the bud now. I am going to say 2 every single week because Drysdale's going to be in there. If he comes back this week, he's going to send 2 players off, okay? That's the guess every week until he does come back for the first time. But I reckon he might come in midweek. So don't know what game it'll be, but 2 red cards will happen. But if he doesn't come back, I'm going to Sunderland. Rochdale go up there, and they're obviously in terrible form at the moment, one of the worst form in the EFL. Sunderland are gaining a bit of momentum, scoring quite a few goals. I think we're going to see another Charlie White hat-trick and Sunderland to get 5 goals against Rochdale.
Okay.
Ooh. Not the biggest 6 risk ever. I think I'll get at least five. So maybe not the biggest risk ever, but, you know, we've got to keep it a little bit sensible. But maybe if Drysdale does referee a game, that one is cancelled, though, unfortunately, because Drysdale is the number one pick, always.
Well, I think I'm going to have 12 this week because we've got new rules. And, and I'm going to say that if Drysdale's back, he's going to... No, I'm joking. I'll keep to the rules. We've had Luke break the rules in the goal of the week. We've had Andy break the rules in the high risk, high reward. And I'll stick to the rules, I think, this week. A game that I'm probably going to watch... I say probably. Not in great spirits about Coventry at the moment. A game that I'm probably going to end up paying my £10 for on Tuesday night. Coventry host Middlesbrough, big game, need 3 points. Both teams need 3 points.
Take a point.
But it's not on the field. Not on the field that I'm focusing on this time. I'm going for something that Andy will appreciate here.
Touchline scrap.
It's been a little while since. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yes.
Touchline scrap.
Yeah, it is.
Applauded that.
It's been a little while since we've seen little Squeaky Robbins lose his head properly, and it's been bubbling a little bit in recent weeks. He wasn't happy about the Ostergaard decision this weekend. There's just been a couple of little things that have annoyed him. Now, he's coming up against, as Andy likes to call him, the old dog. He's coming up
I've never said that, ever.
Once you called him the wily old fox.
That's okay. I think that's a little bit better than old dog.
I think you called Wayne Rooney the young pup, and I think you might have called Warnock the old dog, but I'm not sure. Dog,
yeah.
Rings
a bell.
And unfortunately, it has been a little while since we've seen Warnock really bubble over. He had way too many nice things to say about McCarthy for my liking this weekend. About time we saw him lose his cool. Warnock, Robbins, round one. Ding, ding, ding.
That's something we can all get behind, that one, to be fair.
We'll all be paying our £10.
Mm.
And I think that only leaves Luke, then, to really give it a go this week. What you got?
Right, James, you've said two managers having a scrap on the touchline. I'm going to go for a scrap on the touchline, but not between two managers. I think it's going to continue this pain for Lee Bowyer, and I think he's going to scrap one of his own players. If he's dropping people right and centre, saying they're not doing what he's going to say, I think he's going to fight one of his own players. Next weekend, away at Oxford, scrap one of his own players.
Kieran Dyer turning up again, is he?
So Wigan midweek, he's going to be, it's going to get even worse, is it? And then Oxford on Saturday, he's going to blow his top.
Exactly.
Or can we get a player you think it might happen with? Darren Prattley, perhaps.
Prattley and the Pratt. I mean, Bowyer.
Right, some great high-risk, high-rewards again there.
Lump on, everyone. Lump on.
If you find anywhere that will take those bets.
Yeah, let me know. Well, boys, I think on the back of those guesses there, predictions, I think really what leaves me to do is say thanks very much, and I will see you next Monday.
See you next Monday, guys.
See you next week.
Yeah, no penalty.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think we've got to say exactly the same thing then, probably.
Go on. Yeah, pleasing. No red card this week.
No red card? Are you sure, James?
Stop.
Andy, you go for it, I think.
I really nearly said no red card.
When you Wikipedia Amadou Bakayoko, at the top you get... Not to be confused with Amadou
Bagayoko.
You can see why you would confuse them.
They were nominated for a Grammy.
One of them scored 11 goals in 66.
And the other one's a striker for Coventry.